Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 4th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures and European equities rise ahead of U.S.-China trade talks.
Stocks in Japan tumble as traders return from a four-day holiday.
Wall Street awaits the final jobs report for 2018, while economists expect labor gains to slow in the new year.
House Democrats have passed a plan to reopen the government without funding President Trump's promised border wall, but it's a likely no-go in the Republican-led Senate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. David Robertson is leaving the Yankees for the Phillies. Another win for the Red Hot Islanders. They won in overtime. The Yukon women suffered their first regular season loss in over 4 years.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. stock index futures are following European equities higher amid fresh optimism on U.S.-China trade talks. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 35 points, Dow futures up 296, and NASDAQ futures up 112. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%, CAC in Paris up 1.2%, FTSE 100 is up about the same. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2.25%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 2.25%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32nds, yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.9% or 89 cents to $47.98 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $2 to $12.92.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1403 and the yen, 107.98. And this update brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the 8th consecutive year by Barron's. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more. Nathan.
Karen, China is confirming trade talks with the U.S. will begin Monday. Officials from both countries talked via phone today. That's giving a boost to stocks in Hong Kong and China, but it's a different story in Japan. Traders there are playing catch-up after a four-day holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed lower by 2.3% in Tokyo after earlier posting losses of more than 3.5%. Apple suppliers like Japan Display and Sharp were the biggest losers, while the yen slipped after Thursday's shock surge. Apple suppliers in Taipei also remained under pressure, the TAIEX closing lower by 1.2%, but the CSI 300 rose by 2.4% in China as concern over trade tension eased by the confirmation of next week's talks. And the Taishin Services PMI read came in better than expected for the month of December at 53.9. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. While that outlook cut from Apple continues to weigh on Asian suppliers, it's more than just an iPhone story. 46% of U.S. companies issuing estimates for the fourth quarter have also revised their outlook lower. Kevin Hassett, chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, expects that to continue until there's a U.S.-China trade deal.
You know, and it's not going to be just Apple. I think that there are a heck of a lot of U.S. companies that have a lot of sales in China, watching their earnings be downgraded next year until, you know, we get a deal with China.
And Hassett tells CNN he thinks the economic pain gives President Trump leverage in trade negotiations.
Meanwhile, the People's Bank of China is stepping up support for the economy. After the close of trading in China today, the central bank cut the reserve ratio for lenders by 1 percentage point. The move releases cash into the economy to help support growth.
Stocks in Europe are climbing on this final trading day of the week. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nate. The Stock 600 up by 1.3%, every sector on it gaining. We're led by the miners, and the oil stock's not far behind because crude, heading for its biggest weekly gain since 2017. Also had a bit of data through the Euro area December services PMI coming in at 51.2, just below estimates, and a similar story for Euro area inflation, which slowed to 1.6% in December, short of the 1.7% forecast. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Sebastian. Brent crude is headed for its biggest weekly gain since July of 2017 as production cuts from OPEC outweigh concerns about the global economy. Prices are rallying as Saudi Arabia slowed pumping even before OPEC's deal to reduce output went into effect. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's up 1.9% or 91 cents, trading at $48 even per barrel, while Brent is up 2.1% or $1.20 at $57.15.
We get the December employment report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, with economists forecasting a gain of 184,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
2018 was a banner year for America's labor market. Today's data will probably show an annual gain of 2.45 million jobs, the strongest in 3 years. But economists say 2018's huge gains are unlikely to repeat over the next 12 months. There's evidence the U.S. economy is losing momentum. Bloomberg Economics says keep an eye on interest rate-sensitive sectors, from housing to autos. For now, though, many businesses continue to report labor shortages. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. After that jobs report, we get remarks from Jerome Powell. He takes part in a panel today with Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke in Atlanta. Bloomberg's Michael McKee is there.
The Fed chair is the man of the hour for the markets. Investors who've blamed the central bank for December's equity slump are hoping to hear Powell make the case for a pause. His appearance is timely, even if the forum is not quite perfect. The current chair shares a stage at the American Economic Association annual meeting with former chairs Ben Bernanke and Janet Yellen. Expect Powell to make the case the Fed isn't on a preset course and will react to data, a stance his predecessors will no doubt endorse. But as Yellen is the architect of the Fed's balance sheet reduction policy, it's unlikely Powell would suggest any change. In Atlanta, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And we'll bring you live coverage of that panel at 10 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
And we'll also hear from Cleveland Fed President Loretta Mester, who sits down for an interview with Bloomberg's Michael McKee. Catch that conversation on Bloomberg Radio and Television today at 1:30 p.m. It is 6:06 on Wall Street, and right now futures are higher. S&P futures are up 33.5 points, Dow futures up 281, and NASDAQ futures are up 106. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street and Michael Barr to tell us more of what's happening around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. House Democrats have passed a plan to reopen the government without funding President Donald Trump's promised border wall. However, Senate Republicans and President Trump oppose the plan. The largely party-line votes came after Trump made a surprise appearance at the White House briefing room, pledging to keep up the fight for his signature campaign promise. The partial government shutdown is now pushing into its third week, and as time drags on, President Trump's leverage appears to be fading. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the latest.
The message from Democrats now back in control of the House is unmistakable. What part of no don't you understand?
We're not doing a wall.
Newly reinstalled House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's hard line illustrates how little leverage the president has gained over 2 weeks. Majority Leader Steny Hoyer sounds more adamant than ever.
We don't think it's the proper or most efficient means to keep our country safe.
As Democrats accuse him of holding federal workers hostage, Trump is standing firm.
Without a wall, you cannot have border security. It won't work.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
More talks are scheduled at the White House with President Trump and lawmakers today. Hours after she assumed leadership of the chamber, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi invited President Trump to give his State of the Union speech on January 29th. New reports indicate that former Virginia Senator Jim Webb may be in line to be the next defense secretary. The death toll in a highway crash in Florida is now 7. Two big rigs and two passenger vehicles collided on Interstate 75 near Gainesville yesterday, spilling diesel fuel across the highway and causing a huge fire. Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Patrick Reardon.
Those two tractor trailers caught on fire, as well as a passenger car caught on fire. The damage from the fire was pretty extensive.
7 others were hurt. Italy's populist leaders are in a bind over another bank in crisis. Bloomberg's John Fallane has more from Rome.
Italy's populist leaders loved to denounce bankers before they came to power. Now they have to deal with Banca Carige, a lender which the European Central Bank has placed in temporary administration. Deputy Premiers Luigi Di Maio and Matteo Salvini don't want to be seen using taxpayers' money. But finding a larger bank to step in is proving a challenge. In Rome, John Fallane, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street, and John Stashower is here with our Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, the Islanders are hot. Last night back at their old stomping ground, the Nassau Coliseum, they won their fifth game in a row, ninth in the last 10, 3-2 over Chicago. Devin Taves picked a good time for his first ever NHL goal. It came at 1:48 of overtime. The Devils have given coach John Hines a contract extension. Good NBA doubleheader. It began with Kawhi Leonard's return to San Antonio. He had forced a trade, came back, mostly booed by Spurs fans who enjoyed San Antonio's rout of Toronto. DeMar DeRozan, who the Spurs got in that trade, had his first ever triple-double. James Harden had yet another one. He scored 44 points. He made 10 three-pointers, including the game-winning shot. 2 seconds left in overtime. Houston won at Golden State 135-134. College basketball, Manhattan now 2-11, losing to Quinnipiac. And Monmouth is 1-13, a 17-point loss at Iona. LIU lost to Sacred Heart. Wagner beat Central Connecticut. St. Francis beaten by Bryant. The UConn women lost at Baylor 68-57. First regular season defeat in over 4 years. Their regular season winning streak is over at 126. Also over, David Robertson's second stint as a Yankees reliever. He has signed with the Phillies. Last Sunday in Houston, a 7-year-old girl was killed in a drive-by shooting. So Texans star wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is donating his playoff game check, $29,000, to her family.
I hate to hear what happened. You know, the city of Houston, you know, is always supportive of me, of this team. So, you know, I felt in my heart, you know, it's only right that I give back to those who are down. And, you know, what I can do, that's nothing. That won't bring back, you know, a person. So, you know, I'm not trying to make it all about me or anything like that. But, you know, it's the least I could do.
Houston hosts Indianapolis tomorrow to kick off the NFL playoffs. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
John, thank you. U.S. futures contracts pointed higher ahead of the December jobs report. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Global stocks and commodities are rallying while Haven assets slump. There's optimism on trade as the US and China prepare for Monday's talks. Jerome Powell takes center stage this morning with Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke. The Fed chairman could justify a more cautious tone after recent weak data, but Bloomberg Economics warns against expecting any market-moving insight. An end to the partial government shutdown remains elusive. Congressional leaders meet Trump today after House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reiterated there will be no funding for a border wall. And China has cut the reserve ratio for banks by 1 percentage point. The move by the PBOC will release cash into the economy to support growth. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah George, thank you. And now S&P futures are higher, up 36 points. Dow futures up 300. NASDAQ futures up 113. The DAX in Germany is up 1.7%. 10-year Treasury down 15 32nds, yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.1% of 99 cents to $48.08 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.60 to $12.93.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1409, and the yen, 107.96. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, more on the government shutdown, now in its 14th day. Yesterday, House Democrats passed a plan to reopen the government without funding for a wall. The death toll in a highway crash in Florida is now 7. Two big rigs and two passenger vehicles collided on Interstate 75 near Gainesville yesterday afternoon, spilling diesel fuel across the highway and causing a huge fire. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime over the Blackhawks 3-2. The Bruins won. The Capitals lost. NBA, the Warriors lost in overtime. Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies have agreed to a 2-year contract with now former Yankees reliever David Robertson.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Hey, Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Yelena Shulyeteva, senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics, as we await the final monthly jobs report of a year that had seen, you know, month over month of steady job gains, despite all the volatility in the markets. Are we expecting more of the same today, Yelena?
I think the pace of job creation in December was likely immune to all this market sell-off and intensifying political uncertainty. The state of the labor market remains very strong, and we still have the number of job openings exceeding the number of people unemployed. We saw participation in the prime age group increasing. We see accelerating wage gains. I think despite all this survey data that is telling us that the economy is slowing down, the state of the labor market remains really strong. We're going to see another strong report today, I think.
Yeah, I mean, what do you see as keeping the labor market going as strong as it's been when just about every other economic indicator says otherwise?
Well, it's not true, right? So, for example, consumer spending is extremely strong, actually, and I think there's a lot of demand for jobs in the economy right now. Yes, there are some pockets of weakness, such as business investment, and there's a lot of uncertainty about trade discussions, obviously, and the state of the global economy raises some questions. So, but overall, the U.S. economy is very strong, and we expect the economy to continue to grow above potential next year, even if it slows down from a very stellar pace that we observed this in 2018.
I guess the lingering question has been, you know, whether we are at or at least close to full employment at this point.
Well, this is a very difficult question for economists. And, you know, over the years, we've been kind of like saying, oh, we are very close to full employment, just to revise the estimate next year. So the Fed is also wondering where this, magic state of full employment is. And it seems like we are very close to that, or probably even below that level. So we will know about when we reach that, when wages start accelerating. And I think we are on the verge of that, actually, this year.
How so?
Well, if you look at average hourly earnings, for example, so you will see that we topped topped 3% growth in the last couple of months. We expect another 3% growth in average hourly earnings in December. And it's been pretty broad-based. You look at information, you look at leisure, hospitality, and retail, and all these sectors are indicating growth is accelerating.
When you have the possibility of accelerating wage growth and continued strengthening in the employment picture, what does that mean for the Fed as it navigates a fairly uncertain economic path heading into 2019 here?
I think the state of the labor market is probably the least of the Fed concerns right now. So they will be looking at inflation and what happens to growth in inflationary pressures this year. And that will probably define what happens to policy this year. So, yes, the state of the labor market is fine, but inflation is not accelerating. The Fed actually is not expecting core inflation to exceed their target this year and next year. So, that's a big puzzle for them, and a lot of this market volatility, obviously, and global risks are going to define what they will do this year.
In our last few seconds here, are you expecting to hear any clues of what Fed Chairman Powell might be thinking when he speaks later this morning?
Well, he's not going to tell us how many rate hikes. It's just, right. You know, again, he will talk about the risks probably, and that they will remain cautious and data dependent. That's what we're going to hear from him, I think.
All right, Yelena Shoyetova, senior U.S. economist at Bloomberg Economics. Again, thanks for being with us this morning ahead of the release of the December jobs report. It's due out at 8:30 Wall Street time. Of course, we will have full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. Ahead of that, futures pointing to a higher open at 9:30 Wall Street time. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 6:25 on Wall Street. Again, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell joins former Fed Chairs Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke in Atlanta. You'll hear full coverage of that starting at 10 a.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Trade optimism has U.S. futures and stocks in Europe rising to close out the trading week. Efforts to end a partial government shutdown are also helping send S&P futures higher on the heels of yesterday's 2.5% plunge.
So here are the latest numbers. Now, Dow futures up more than 300 points after yesterday's 660-point decline. S&P 500 futures up 1.5%. The Stoxx 600 in Europe also 1.5% higher. Stocks in China gained 2.4%, while Japan's Nikkei fell 2.25% as traders returned from an extended New Year's break.
As for trade, on Monday, the U.S. and China will hold their first round of talks since Donald Trump and Xi Jinping agreed to a 90-day truce in Argentina last month.
Meanwhile, China's central bank acted to release cash into the economy to support growth, cutting the amount of money lenders must hold as reserves by 1 percentage point.
Investors await this morning's jobs report. Economists forecast a gain of 184,000 jobs in December, with average hourly earnings rising 0.3%. We get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
For a change, Wall Street's focus may return to the number of jobs created rather than average hourly earnings. Investors have been looking at earnings and the potential for higher inflation for clues to future Fed moves. But with price indexes falling, they've priced out any Fed move in January. Instead, the December jobs number may matter more. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. And after the jobs report, we get remarks from Jerome Powell. The Fed chairman takes part in a panel with Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke in Atlanta. We'll bring that to you live at 10 a.m. Wall Street time.
And the eurozone inflation hit an 8-month low in December, just as the European Central Bank stopped adding stimulus to the economy. Consumer prices increased an annual 1.6% in December, down from 1.9% in November.
It is 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 25.45. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 23.92. That is this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 37 points. Dow futures up 312. NASDAQ futures up 117. 10-year Treasury down 14 32nds. Yield 2.60%. Yield on the 2-year 2.41%. NYMEX crude oil is up 2.2% or $1.05 to $48.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.1% on $1.20 to $12.93.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.14.12, and the yen is at 108.01. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is back to tell us what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you, Nathan. The new House Democratic majority voted to end the partial government shutdown, but brought Congress no closer to resolving the impasse over President Trump's demand to pay for a border wall. The president and Senate Republicans oppose the Democrats' plan, and the next effort to reopen the closed agencies will come when leaders of both parties meet with President Trump at the White House this morning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke to reporters.
Anyway. We're not doing a wall. Does anybody have any doubt that we're not doing a wall?
President Trump says the wall is very popular.
Having a drone fly overhead, and I think nobody knows much more about technology, this type of technology, certainly, than I do. Having drones and various other form of sensors, they're all fine, but they're not going to stop the problems that this country has.
And as Democrats have taken over control of the House, Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports it looks like Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross will be called in to testify.
With control of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform and Elijah Cummings, a new chair, saying we're going to ask him to come in, a main topic, he says, will be allegations by committee Democrats that Ross had given misleading testimony on multiple occasions to Congress about a decision to add a question about citizenship to the 2020 census. Democrats in the past have said that Ross may have committed a criminal offense if he was not truthful about how that decision came about. Cummings says it's not known yet whether they'll need a subpoena. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New reports indicate that Jim Webb, a one-time presidential candidate and former Virginia senator, may be in line to be the next defense secretary. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports.
Officials tell the New York Times the Trump administration is considering Jim Webb, who is an outspoken opponent of the Iraq war and a supporter of getting tougher on China. During a debate while running for president in 2016, the Democrat railed against Beijing's actions in the South China Sea and cyber attacks on Americans. He was also against the Iran nuclear deal. The former Marine served as Navy Secretary and Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
At least seven people are dead in Florida after a fiery collision on Interstate 75 near Gainesville yesterday. Rain, winds, and surging seawater are striking southern Thailand, threatening coastal villages and popular tourist resorts as a tropical storm makes landfall. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street and the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now with John Stashower.
Nathan, Houston and Golden State met last spring, Western Conference Finals. Warriors won seven games. Rockets have struggled for much of this season, but they're hot now, especially the reigning MVP, James Harden, who put on a show last night at Golden State. The Rockets came from 20 points down, and Harden hit a tough three-pointer with 2 seconds left in overtime, and Houston's sixth straight win, beating the Warriors 135-134. Harden scored 44 points. He's averaging 43 a game during the win streak. And drama and overtime on Long Island, where the Islanders periodically go back and play. Last night hosting Chicago.
Wilson. Popped it back. Here's Bailey. Walks in. Turning a shot. Stealing a rebound. They score. He made the first save. The rebound came loose. And Devin Toews, in his fifth ever NHL game, has a GWG.
That's game-winning goal. First ever NHL goal for Toews. NBCSN the call. Islanders won 3-2. They've won five in a row. The UConn women had won 126 in a row in regular season play. They shot only 29%. They lost at Baylor. First regular season loss in over 4 years. Men's hoops locally. Iona beat Monmouth. Ricky McGill, 29 points, 17 rebounds for the Gales. Wagner beat Central Connecticut. Losses for Manhattan, LIU, and St. Francis. Two-time Yankee reliever David Robertson spoke with the Yanks but elected to move on. He signed with the Phillies, 2 years, $23 million. He saved about $1 million by not using an agent. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
NASA's New Horizons mission, which has been beaming back stunning photos from the farthest edge of the solar system, is probably the future of spacefaring. Although NASA's crewed missions have been rightfully celebrated, its robotic successes may prove more significant. Since the Explorer 1 satellite set sail from Cape Canaveral in 1958, the U.S. has been flinging machinery into space with ever-increasing speed and ambition, even as its plans for future crewed endeavors have grown hazier. That's no bad thing. In fact, New Horizons suggests that the best is yet to come. Its onboard equipment and processing power have enabled unprecedented analysis of distant bodies. Its relative affordability means NASA can do more with less. In the years ahead, missions like New Horizons, combining human ingenuity and robotic efficiency, will be able to explore new parts of the universe untethered by the limitations of the human body. Add in the booming private space business, and the possibilities only expand. They'll provide a worthy next chapter in the American space experiment, and maybe the most interesting one yet. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street, Bob Moon has today's Bloomberg Green Report.
Rising seas and erosion are threatening lighthouses around the U.S. and the world. Volunteers and cash-strapped governments are doing what they can, but the level of concern, like the water, is rising. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the rate of the rise in sea levels has increased in recent decades, and many lighthouses around the country are considered to be in danger. A group dedicated to preserving them, the U.S. Lighthouse Society, says it's happening faster than anybody had predicted. Some lighthouses already have been consumed by the rising sea. In Texas and Hawaii, for example, lighthouses have been moved inland in North Carolina, Rhode Island, and Florida, among other places. In some cases, it could cost millions of dollars to save what have become largely nostalgic structures. While some of the coastal beacons continue to be relied upon for navigation, others have been replaced with more modern technology and are treasured more for their history and value to tourism. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thank you, Bob. 640 on Wall Street. You know, it was a horrible year for hedge funds, but Anthony Scaramucci's return to the industry worked out all right. SkyBridge Capital, the investment firm run by the former White House communications director, made money in one of the worst years ever for hedge funds. Unaudited returns for his firm's two funds were 3.6% and 4.5% after fees. Still, clients did pull money from SkyBridge, with assets under management dropping by nearly $2.5 billion. Futures on Wall Street this morning pointed higher ahead of the December jobs report. S&P futures up 36 points right now. Dow futures ahead by 315 points. And NASDAQ futures are up 116 points. Now you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a program note, tune into our weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the week ahead on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. Futures moving higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are bouncing after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures currently up 310 points. S&P's gained 36, while the NASDAQ futures climbed by 115. The U.S. 10-year yield back to 2.6%. Shanghai jumped 2.1% overnight, while Japan fell 2.3% after reopening. And note that China cut the bank's required reserve ratio to support growth. European markets are also climbing, led by 1.7% gains in Germany. And back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, change in non-farm payrolls estimate 184,000. At 9:45, market U.S. composite and services PMIs. And Fed's Powell speaks around 10:15. In other news, Cal-Maine EPS missed the lowest estimates. And wrapping things up, Intel was upgraded to buy over at Bank of America. Green Dot upgraded to buy at BTIG. CyberArk Software and eBay were both downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs, and Analog Devices downgraded to sector perform at RBC. Live from the First Rebecca News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, House Democrats approved two bills yesterday that would effectively end the government shutdown, but neither bill is expected to come to the Republican-led Senate vote because they do not include any money for a border wall President Trump wants. This is ahead of an expected meeting later this morning between the president and congressional leaders. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime over the Blackhawks 3-2. The Bruins won. The Capitals lost. In the NBA, the Warriors lost in overtime to the Rockets. Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies have agreed to a two-year contract with reliever David Robertson. Robertson, who was 33, went 8-3 and had five saves last season for the New York Yankees. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Huawei can get really touchy about its phones these days. The world's number two smartphone brand demoted and cut the pay of two workers over a New Year's greeting that was tweeted from Huawei's official account. Well, what's wrong with that? It was tweeted with an Apple iPhone. Slap the forehead. Nathan, Huawei blamed the faux pas, whoopsie-doodle, on the agency as well.
as the workers, as various blogs ran with the since-deleted tweet marked via Twitter for iPhone.
Oh, man. Everything lives on the internet.
That is the
lesson once again learned here. Wow.
Oh, man. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is the Dumont Network. What? Did I say it wrong? I'm sorry.
That does not live on the internet. Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Top story in our nation's capital continues to be the partial government shutdown, now poised to enter its third week. The new Democratic-led House, as Michael mentioned, passed bills to reopen the shuttered agencies, but with no funds for a border wall. And with President Trump already threatening a veto, he has invited congressional leaders back to the Situation Room later today to try to resolve the impasse. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is back with us now. It doesn't seem, Kate, like there's been any movement on either side.
Yeah, I think it's, if anything, I feel like both sides have kind of just dug in on their positions even more deeply. And so I think that it's a little bit hard to really imagine a way out of this scenario at this point. It's almost like a staring contest and one side needs to blink. And, you know, I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say it's probably going to end up being the president, but because he doesn't have... He's the one without the leverage here, considering that voters seem to be blaming Republicans and Trump for the shutdown. But, you know, whether or not he goes that route, I think remains a very open question.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he tried to gain back some leverage with his first ever, it should be noted, appearance in the White House press room, appearing behind the podium for the first time to dig in.
Yeah, that was really something. You know, it's not a venue where we normally see him or type of venue that we would normally expect to see him in. He's much more of a fan of those sort of campaign style rallies that he does. But I think that in some ways, the White House switching it up sort of shows that they feel that they're under pressure and they need to be doing something different from the regular playbook. So that would be kind of my sort of optics of it takeaway from that.
Yeah. And further optics by the fact that he didn't take any questions after the fact. I mean, what does that tell you about where he might be in terms of, you know, trying to come to some sort of compromise?
Well, it sounds like he doesn't want to get off script, like he wants to be making a, you know, a concise, clear message and not, you know, Trump, someone who tends to go off script quite often. And so I think that, you know, perhaps the decision not to take questions might reflect an effort to be a little more disciplined on that front, which I think, again, is also interesting because it shows the White House understands there's some high stakes here.
Yeah, and I would think that there are some high stakes for the Democratic side as well, because, I mean, we've seen newly minted Speaker Nancy Pelosi reiterating over and over again that she's not going to give a cent for a border wall. I mean, she's under pressure from her left flank still, yeah?
Absolutely. I mean, some of that has been, I guess, alleviated in the sense that there was sort of early on rumblings of a leadership challenge. And so I think to make sure that she kept that at bay, she wanted to be very clear with the caucus before the leadership elections yesterday that her position was firm against the wall, because any sort of wiggle room that she demonstrated there could potentially make her vulnerable. But now that she has the leader, now that she has the speaker's gavel locked up, I think, you know, that pressure doesn't go away. She's still under it from her left flank and from the Democratic base outside of Congress. And frankly, again, with the polls indicating that Republicans are primarily the ones that voters are blaming for the shutdown, and for Trump having said himself that he was going to assume the mantle of the shutdown if it did happen, I think that there's not a whole lot of incentive for her to cede any ground at this point.
I mean, you would think that at some point there's got to be some kind of incentive, though, wouldn't there? Once we start to really feel the impact of the partial shutdown, I mean, there are agencies like the IRS that might not be sending refunds if there isn't a resolution to this, and so many other impacts coming, you know, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think we're really at that critical point now where the impact of it is going to really start to hurt. It's going to start to be felt, you know, not just in Washington, but, you know, in mainstream America as well. And then I think, you know, not to be too transactional about it, but I think both sides will be looking at the polls really closely and trying to figure out who's going to pay a bigger political price. And if it's clear it's one party or the other, then I think that potentially is how this gets resolved. You know, if the overwhelming responsibility for this in voters' minds is goes to the White House, then I think Trump's going to be under increasing pressure, not just from his aides, but also potentially from members of Congress who are going to have to stand for re-election in 2 years to kind of, perhaps take a different tact, perhaps cede some ground in order to get the government up and running again.
And in our last 30 seconds here, you mentioned looking at the polls. I mean, does this conflict sort of color the 2020 race that's already shaping up with members of Congress, putting their toes in the water here, perhaps?
Absolutely. I think it definitely does. And I think that, we're going to see again, we saw in 2013 when the government shut down that had an impact on 2014 elections, potentially. At least we saw Republicans ended up doing very well in those elections. But we saw immediately after the shutdown, Republicans taking, a real beating in the polls. And I think that was very concerning to a lot of Republicans. And so if we see something like that happening again, or if, we see it in the other direction where Democrats start to get blamed, I think we're likely to see that push folks into moving in one direction or another.
As we are now in day 14 of the partial government shutdown. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
If you can fog a mirror, you could probably get a job in this current market. While small business owners may not hire just any warm body, they do report record high unfilled job openings. The NFIB's monthly jobs report shows 39% of small business owners reported job openings they could not fill. 60% of owners reported hiring or trying to hire, but 90% of those reported fewer no qualified applicants for the position they were offering. 23% of owners cited the difficulty in finding qualified workers as their single most important business problem. That beats regulation and even beats taxes as their biggest headache. To attract qualified workers, the small business owners are trying to pay up. About 35% reported increasing compensation. But small businesses may not have what it takes to compete with big companies for workers, and that may limit their growth. And that is the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
John Tucker, thank you. And we are awaiting the government's December jobs report. It's out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And ahead of it, futures are higher. S&P futures up 34 points this morning. Dow futures up 296 and NASDAQ futures up 109. And we continue to watch shares of Apple this morning up 1.4% after it fell 10% in regular trading yesterday. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. And for Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow. And this is Bloomberg.